Good evening. This is interesting. It's been interesting since Sunday. I think Sunday it got real for us. It's when the nerves started hitting, when we realized, okay, this is our last Sunday service here. And then Monday with the study, okay, this is the last 2 Timothy study. And then tonight, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow we leave. So please pray for that. Pray that this message goes well. If you want to be overwhelmed in the Bible, in your studies of the Bible, study justification by faith. It is the New Testament is justification by faith. And it's a very, as you start studying it, it's just very overwhelming. Just how obvious it all is. And it, of course, it's where we're a finished work church. We're emphasize the grace of God, greater grace. So we know justification by faith, but studying it and really looking at it, it's like, wow, okay, God's trying to tell us something here. So if we can open up to Galatians chapter 2, please, and stand if you would, if you want to, you can stand. Starting in verse 16, through the end of the chapter. It says, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and he gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly." Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you so much that we can't earn righteousness. Lord, thank you so much that we don't have to stand on our own legs in front of you, but that we have Christ. Lord, thank you so much for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated. I want to talk about here in the next few minutes, operating from the point of justification, like operating from the point of being justified. And we see this in verse 16. And I think I'm just going to go through these verses. We're going to talk about it a little bit, kind of expose it, expository, and see what God does. So in verse 16, Paul said, this is a New American Standard. He says, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified." And what Paul is talking about, if you know a little bit of the background in the book of Galatians, there's a Bible college class in the book of Galatians I highly recommend. It's Pastor Dwayne George and Pastor Shibeli. The book of Galatians was Paul's attack letter against legalism. He went on the offensive in the book of Galatians because he left this region. So Galatia was a region in Asia Minor. He left, and then he started hearing reports of these Judaizers coming in and bringing in the law. Yes, we know what Paul did. We know what he says. Yes, it's all Jesus. It's all the cross. But you should be circumcised too. Didn't Moses say be circumcised? But you should worship on the Sabbath also, right? I mean, that's the Ten Commandments. And they brought in all these laws and these rules to these barbaric people, these people that really had no rules. The Galatians, they were war people of war. And Paul had to turn around and say, like, what is going on over there? I'm hearing these reports of this legalistic mindset. Like, don't you know that it's justification by faith in Christ alone? It is justified. So if you read the book of Galatians over and over, you see this this tone that Paul uses against the Judaizers, and he says some pretty harsh things about them. At one point, saying that if they're going to tell you to be circumcised, you might as well go all the way. They should be castrated. If you look at the Greek, it's pretty strong what he's saying. Because he was defending the grace. He was defending the grace message. Because the grace message is the freedom message. It is the message that we have this position in the cross that is outside of us. And so here in verse 16, he says, a man is not justified by the works of the law. And we also see, like, if you look at 3:1, he says, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Like, who has told you this lie? And we say, yeah, I mean, come on, we don't believe that. I mean, right? We don't believe legalism. We don't believe in the sacrifices, the eating kosher, the worshiping on Saturdays. We don't go that far. But do we in our hearts? You know, do we try to justify ourselves before God? Like, have we? I mean, I'm probably not the only one that's done that, right? I mean, live a life that, you know, to try to do something, and we put the cart before the horse, and we have this mindset of, I am going to do something for a holy God. A God where it says, in his presence, no flesh can stand, right? I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Like, no flesh can stand in his presence. Nothing can operate in his presence, and we try to justify ourselves. And we try to work this work. And, you know, if we have a disagreement, we have this self-defense mechanism that comes in. No, I'm not that bad. I'm actually not that bad. I'm pretty good, right? And we have this talk, this self-talk, and we build ourselves up, and we puff ourselves up. And it's just human nature. Adam did it immediately, right? In the presence of God in the garden, immediately he switched blame. He looked to Eve, and they covered themselves up, and it's human nature. It's been going on since day one. And we try to justify ourselves before God, and we try to work to either show the Lord how good we're doing, or we work to try to show others, like, look at all the good Christian things that I'm doing. But there is no justification in that. It's not like we'll stand before God at the end days and say, look at all the great things that I did in your name, right? If Matthew chapter 7, look at the things that I did in your name. Look at the miracles that I did. Look at the souls that I brought into the kingdom. Look how great I am. But that won't stand. We are not justified by the things that we do. We are justified by who Christ is. We are justified by his position. He died on the cross, not me. He paid for my sins. And I approach the throne of God already justified. I don't approach him trying to earn a justification, trying to earn a merit, trying to earn a thing. We mentioned the seven sacraments on Monday. And this kind of spurred the whole thought in me was, Martin Luther had some questions. What was it, 1517? He nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the church. And it was based on this. He's like, what do you mean that I have to work for grace of God? The Bible says I'm justified. Sorry, my mouth is dry. Please. when we come before God, and we have that message. I mean, if you've ever read the message from Jonathan Edwards, it's an intense message. And it started the Great Awakening of the 1700s and led to American missions. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. When we look at Romans chapter 3, and this is something that we mentioned, if you want to know how good we are, how much we can earn justification, how good we can climb our way up to holiness, read Romans chapter 3. It tells you who we are. We are sinners. We are depraved. We have nothing. And so before God, we cannot be justified by works because we can't do it. Thank you so much. My lovely wife. So this verse, and Paul is reiterating to the Galatians, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. We're not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus. And that's the thing. Like, what is faith? And that we would believe in Jesus, believe what he did, and then we are imputed with righteousness. It is given to us based on his merit, not based on ours. In my studies, I started in one area, then it kind of branched off into a few things, so I'm trusting the Holy Spirit tonight. In the next verse, in verse 17, it says, "But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be." And this is Paul kind of using an argument to defend his gospel, to defend the grace message. And he was asking the Judaizers, really, in Galatia, if you think that we're sinning, if you think that the message that we have is wrong, Christ gave us that message, so then Christ must be a minister of sin. He's just kind of using a roundabout argument to say, like, this doesn't logically make sense. But in verse, I'll just jump down to verse 19. It says, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God." And that's what the law does, right? And that's the purpose of the law. That was the purpose of the law of Moses, that we wouldn't have to work anymore. That we would work, but it would become from the standing of where we are. We wouldn't work to become something. We would work because of what we are. We would work because of the grace of God, because of the love that was given to us. The word justify in these verses, dikaiō, and it means to render one righteous. It's mentioned 14 times in Romans alone, but 40 times in the whole New Testament. It's a very important verse. To render one righteous before God, to have the ultimate right standing before a holy God, that when we approach him, he would say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Like, we can come to the throne of grace boldly in Hebrews 4:16, that we can approach him based on the merit of Christ. And it is this, and we have this through faith. It is only through believing. If you turn to Romans 1:17, please. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. You see, this one verse, it's actually a quote from Habakkuk 2:4. And we see this one verse repeated three different times in the New Testament. When we see something get repeated in the Bible, it's like we should listen to that. We should think about it. Like, why is this repeated so many times? It's in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and then also in Hebrews 10:38. This quote from the Old Testament, 1:17, it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith." And in King James, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And we see it over and over again. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews 10:38, the writer of Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. And it was these words that Martin Luther used to say, "No, I'm not justified any other way." And it's kind of a little funny in the English, the way it comes out. But it's that when we are justified, we will operate in faith. We will operate by believing Jesus Christ. We will operate in this different man. And it's not a, like, not a, a working in the, like, not a works, but that we are already justified by believing, and we will live, like, operate by faith, if that makes any sense. It didn't make any sense as I said it. So, but it's that the just man, like, we are justified through the cross of Jesus Christ. And in that justification, we will live. And we believe Jesus. We believe in it. We are justified. And we operate there. And we don't operate in any other way. We don't try to keep some kind of a law, some kind of rule and regulation. We mentioned it on Monday night. There are churches that teach if you don't tithe, you can't be members. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not even saved. That's legalism. It's adding something to the Bible. Anything that's added to the Bible, anything, if you say, if you don't do this, you're not a real Christian, that's legal. Mark that message. Don't receive from that person. It's legalism. And to see it and say, no, it's by faith. I operate by faith. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a wretch. I know that in me dwells no good thing in Romans chapter 7, right? In me, that is my flesh, dwells no good thing. I cannot claw myself out of this hole. I am a sinner. But Christ, in Ephesians chapter 2, but Christ who is rich, but God who is rich in mercy, where in his great love, wherewith he loved us, right? But God that will do something about it, that Jesus Christ came on my behalf and imputed righteousness to me. He took my place on the cross. He shed his blood for my life and said, I love you, believe me. Believe me, and then when you believe me, you have fellowship with me. You are justified. You are righteous. You are holy. You are clean. And I will remember your sin no more, it says in Isaiah. Not that I've covered them up. In the Old Testament, they used to cover up sins. The blood of the heifer, the blood of the lamb would cover the sin until the next day of atonement. But not Christ. Christ didn't cover the sin. He took it away. It's gone. It's not to be remembered. It is something, we are not sinners, we are justified. We are sinners in our flesh, and you know that flesh will rise up, but we are justified before God. And I kind of want to just really have us think about that, to study the doctrine of justification, and to continue in Galatians 2 in verse 20. And we all know, we know this verse. I mean, probably most of us can just quote it. But New American Standard is a little bit different than the King James. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And this is Paul's response. So when we read that verse in the context of what Paul is saying here, when he's talking about not being justified by the law, not being justified by works, not being justified because we can do anything in and of ourselves, once we realize that, it leads us to Galatians 2:20. It leads us to the response, I'm crucified with Christ. My life is a different life now. I believe Jesus, and I'm imputed righteousness, and I am just, and I know I have a relationship with God. And it's not me that lives anymore. It's Christ who lives in me. And we can have this newness of life, it says in Romans chapter 6. We can have this new life, and we can operate in the new man, and we can actually operate outside of our flesh, and we don't need to deal with the stuff that we used to deal with, because it's the life of the Son of God. It's the new life. It's the righteous life. It's the just life. And we can live there. It says, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me, and he gave himself up for me. And this was Paul's message. This is the message of justification by faith. We don't try to earn justification by working. It's foolish, and we who can stand, right? Who can stand before a holy God that way? But we are justified, so we operate in this new life. We are justified, so we want to be in the Word. So we want to learn of God, to learn of him. We are justified, so we want to love others. We are justified, so we want to forgive and make amends and operate in this new life because of where we are, not because of what we should try to be and how we can work, but because of who we are outside of us. Because if we had to do it, we wouldn't do it. If we could earn our salvation, we would never do it. If we could lose our salvation, we would have lost it. You know, it's not us. It's not, none of it is us. It's all Christ. It's all the sovereignty of God. It's all that we respond to his love. And then he says, all right, now let me show you the supernatural. Let me show you who you are in me. Let me open up the Bible to you. And it's just so, it's mind-blowing. So, and I wanted to say, like in view of missions, because, you know, we leave tomorrow, so missions. We don't... we're not, like, we don't move across the world to try to earn favor with God. We don't try to say, okay, well, I want to be like the best missionary I can possibly be, and I'm just going to really show God and show everybody around me how awesome I am. If we do that, we will fail. Like, we will fall on our face, you know, and hopefully the grace of God would cause us to fall on our face if that was the case. You know, like the message we heard on Sunday, hopefully we've had conviction there. And then if we don't convert, that it would lead to chastisement by the grace of God. The grace of God leads us to is chastisement. But we are missionaries because of what Christ did. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul said, we are motivated by love. We are compelled by the love of God. We are compelled by the finished work. We aren't compelled to earn it. We are compelled because it's already done. We are compelled because of the cross. Charles Spurgeon said, I have a quote from Spurgeon. He said, to be a missionary, you don't need to cross the sea. You just need to see the cross. And I really like that quote. You know, it's not... You know, we don't, and I hope I made the point. It's not, you know, in verse 21, it says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Christ died in vain, it says in the King James. Righteousness doesn't come through the law. It doesn't come through our works. And again, the law that it's speaking of is very literally the law of Moses. We obviously don't fall into that. I hope not. I mean, fall into that. But to have the legalist, the self-justification mindset in our heart, where I have to do something to prove who I am, to prove that I am a good Christian, you know, to never fall into that lie, that I have to prove myself in front of people to show how good I am. That is not, it's not in the Bible. What we do is we just operate at the cross, and there is love there, and there is mercy there, and then Christ lives there. And we don't try to have a state of self-justification before others or before Christ or before God. We just simply live. We follow Christ. We simply follow Christ. That's all we do. We simply follow Christ. And where he is, we pray that we are there also, and that we will follow him where he goes. And we call him Lord, Lord, and we follow him. And it's not because we don't say, Lord, Lord, look at all of the great things that we do. We say, Lord, Lord, thank you for saving me. Look at the great thing that you did. And it's something beyond that. So I just kind of want to leave us that in closing, that we would focus on being justified by faith. Let's study that out. It's a fun study. It's an overwhelming, it's verse after verse after verse. Read the book of Romans. The book of Romans is all justification by faith. That we are who we are because God made us who we are, and we don't have to earn anything. We don't have to live a certain way. It's the grace of God. And then the grace of God leads us to different areas in our life. God will start showing us things and leading us in different ways as we follow him in faith. And we realize that we're justified by faith. He'll teach us the word by his grace. He'll teach us who he is by his grace. He'll lead us to serve others by his grace. I was overwhelmed by a divine appointment this morning. We ended up at a mall, and I ended up seeing somebody that we haven't seen in a while, and they needed to be prayed with, and they needed to be taught. It was really, it was a divine appointment like I haven't really experienced yet. And God will do that, and he'll do that as we follow him. This isn't a religion. This is, not to be corny to say a relationship, but it's a relationship with Christ that transcends everything. It's the most important relationship, that we can go to our prayer closet, have a one face-to-face conversation with a holy God. You know, so as we, and I wanted to mention this too, in Mark chapter 5, Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. If we try to work out a comparative religion with others, and we try to really show how great we are, not the standard isn't being better than our neighbor, you know. The standard is being perfect That's the standard. So if we try to be really good Christians and we try to operate outside of the cross, outside of the grace of God, and we start climbing, at first Jesus said, "If unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you have no place in the kingdom of heaven." And then in that same chapter, he says, "No, actually, you have to be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect." It's like, no, that can't happen. And outside of the cross, it can't happen. It has to happen inside the cross. It has to happen through the grace of God. Nothing else can happen. So I just challenge us, and I pray that I would be able to understand grace more, that I would be able to understand the positional truth of being justified already more. You know, I don't think we'll ever fully understand until we see him face to face, but I want to know it more. I want to know it more. And to challenge one another to live in grace a little bit more, you know. So with that, we'll pray. It's a little bit over time. So, Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for who we are in you, that you would, while we were yet sinners, you died for us. While we were in the process of sinning, you love us, Lord, that you did something about it. That we are no longer sinners in the hands of an angry God, but we are children in the arms of a loving Father. Father, thank you so much for what that means. You are too good to us, Lord. Help us to really see grace. Help us to really see love, that we can operate it and then grow in grace and knowledge every day, and that we can love your word because that's where you are. We can love prayer because that's where you are, and that we can minister to others in this life. Father, thank you so much. Anoint this night. Give us safe travels on the way home, especially with the drivers on the roads tonight. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be careful on the ride home tonight. Today is like the number one bar night of the year.